Good morning. This is a blessed day the Lord has made. I'm thankful to be with y'all here at home at Union Church. I was homesick last week, being at a wonderful meeting. But it's good to be home, and it's good to be among friends and family, and it's good to raise up our high and heavenly King. He deserves all the praise and honor and glory. What's been on the mind is out of Psalm chapter 2, and it's in light of recent events here in our country as we recently had a transfer of power in the inauguration, and I'm thankful that it was a peaceful transfer of power, that nothing audacious or violent happened. But here we have an example in Psalm chapter 2 of something that I believe we've all experienced as children of God, and we've experienced to some extent, governmental interference and governmental attacks on the children of God. It starts out with, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine any vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Doesn't it seem like that might be happening sometimes in the country that we live in the state that we live in? And if anyone's watching in another country, they might feel that it's happening where they're at too. That the rulers that be, the powers that be, the people that the Lord, only he can ordain and give power. We have no power of ourselves. If you are given the office of president, prime minister, governor, judge, he's given you that power. These are people that are risen up by the Lord that are now gaining up on him. They're gaining up to destroy his people. And even though it says, "Touch not my anointed and do not my prophets any harm," they're going to do that because they want to establish their own righteousness, their own power, and destroy God's power. Now, how does God react to this? Is he afraid of it? Is he discouraged? No, in fact, he finds it quite humorous. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." And to read the word laugh, you might think like a full-out belly laughter, like a comedic laugh, but it's a laugh like, they really think they got a shot? They really think they can stop my power? That's the cadence that comes to mind when you hear, "He that sitteth in the heavens, the King of creation that we just sang praise to, the Almighty, laughing at people trying to gain up on him and try and destroy his people." And that should give us a lot of comfort this morning at Union Church and otherwise, that we live godly and we're going to suffer persecution from those out in the world. And they themselves are not our enemies, but the prince of the power of the air is our enemies, and they can make themselves our enemies. People can rise up against us and make themselves our enemies. Our enemies can be that of our own household. We can have many foes that rise up against us, but we're also told that our enemies are not flesh and blood, but the powers that be out there. "And then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." You know, God hates some folks, and we read that in Psalm chapter 5, is that he hateth all workers of iniquity, and he abhors the bloody and deceitful man. Now, who's that? The natural man that receiveth not the things of God, neither can he understand them, for he is spiritually discerned. And none that doeth good, no, not one. He hates some people. And now that might be politically incorrect to say today, because the catchphrase is, he hates the sin but loves the sinner. Well, he hates some sinners too, but he loves his people. We sang about his love just this morning. The height and depth and width and length we can't measure of his love. If we were to write the love of God and have a notepad here with a pen and try to write out the word of God, it would drain every ocean dry. It would drain all the water in the world dry. We would have no more water. That's the depth of his love. And it probably goes beyond that because it's infinite. His love is infinite and never failing. His mercies are new every morning. So we know that God is love, but he also is an angry and vengeful God, but not in an unrighteous way, but in a righteous and holy way, in that he can't even look at sin. He can't even be a part of sin. So these folks that are trying to gain up against him will not win. And if that's going on in Washington today, they're not going to be successful. And take heart that today that your least favorite politician is not your enemy. Your enemy, Satan. And that's the enemy, that the adversary that's coming about like a roaring lion seeking to destroy us. So don't misplace your anger or your fear onto a man. Don't do that. Because it says right here, the men that are gaining up against the children of God, they're not going to win. God laughs at them. God thinks that their attempt to overthrow him is ridiculous. And he's going to vex them. He's going to hurt them in his sore displeasure as he sees fit. Yet if I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, he is the head of the kingdom of God. He is the only head of the church. You know, we're thankful for a pastor, and we're thankful for deacons, but he is the head of the church. He is the head of the kingdom of God. If ever, you know, I've been blessed and have been at great liberty that has not come from my own intellect and spirituality to serve, to fill appointments for churches that don't have a pastor. And I grieve for them because sometimes without an under-shepherd, the sheep scatter. But they have a head, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would do them well not to forget that in light of losing a pastor. Because you lose a pastor, it's a very discouraging thing. It can make you cry. It can make you upset. It's a heartbreaking thing. But the Lord is still on his throne. And the Lord is still over his churches. And he's still on the holy hill of Zion. He's on the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning forever and ever. He never stopped reigning, and he never really started reigning. He was always there. He has no beginning or end. It says right here, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Now, there was no time from creation to now. There was no specific date where Christ became the Son of God. He always was the Son of God. He was with God for all time. And without him was nothing made. He was always the Son of God. He is the eternal begotten Son of God. We need to remember that, is that Christ is eternal. And he was always with God. There's some that say he might have become the Son of God in another fragment of time. He was always there. He was always with the Father. And, you know, in his baptism, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. It's not, I've adopted him as my son right now. This is my son, and unto you a son shall be born. God always recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son. And this verse has the gospel, this chapter has the gospel of the finished work of Christ in it, as all scripture does, all scripture points to. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Sit down on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord will put bad people subject to good people. He raised Joseph up in prison to take care of them rapscallion prisoners in there. When Joseph didn't do anything wrong, Joseph didn't need to be there. But God saw fit to make him next to the guard as far as keeping the prisoners in line. So how about that? You go to prison and you're given a job to do, and you're the leader in prison. What a blessing. God can do that today. He can put you in a place where you have the power or the leadership to make those that are not of God subject to you. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now, these are good verses for President Donald Trump, aren't they? He should serve the Lord with fear and trembling. I don't mind saying I voted for the man, but I pray for the man that he follows these verses. And also, going down the verse number 12, kiss the son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. Now, the phrase kiss the son jumped out at me a couple weeks ago when we were reading through Psalms, and we landed on Psalm chapter 2, because the term kiss, you know, we think kiss like, but it's not necessarily that. It's a reverence. It's an affection. Have you ever cried out to God affectionately? Have you ever prayed affectionately? Abba, Father. That is what kissing the son means. It means to love the son. Just like if you kiss your parent or your girlfriend, your wife, your kids, that's showing affection to them. When we kiss the son, we give the Lord adoration and praise and love. Lest he be angry and you perish from the way. He's angry with the wicked every day. He is angry with them. But he's not far from us, and if we kiss him, if we serve him with all adoration and praise and honor and glory and humility, he'll turn his anger away. He died for our sins, so he purged that anger on the cross. He's no longer angry with his people. He loves his people. He can be angry with us. Now, he does chastise us. But if you've ever been spanked by God and felt sorry for it, you're one of God's elect. I got good news for you. If you felt the chastening of God and thought, God must not love me anymore, you're the elect of God. You're one of God's children. Because if you're not one of God's children, he'll spank them all day long. They won't feel a thing. They'll say, well, I don't much care about that. And I'm angry at God because God has no right to spank me. But if you're a child of God, you feel that chastising, you feel that punishment, and you're sorrowful that you disappointed your father. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Trust in the Lord. That's the main gist of this passage. And It points straight to the gospel in that the Lord finished all the work of salvation. He destroyed sin and death on the cross, and he is upon the holy hill of Zion, and he's still ruling and reigning today for his people. And we will be together with him. And let us bow in a word of prayer. Righteous Heavenly Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we're thankful for this time together at this humble abode called Union to serve and honor and lift up thy holy name. Lord, be with us as we sojourn in this world and we face all difficulties of life, all maladies of life. Lord, continue to remind us that thy mercies are new every morning. Lord, destroy those that rise up against us by thy will. Let thy will be done, and deliver us from evil, and forgive us of our many transgressions. This humbly we ask in your mighty name, and amen.